about making a difference tonight through the gift of encouragement. Through the gift of encouragement. Before I get started preaching tonight, I want to let you know that we are planning to do an Easter cantata this Christmas. And so the first practice will be on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon at 4:45. And we'll just go through the music. We won't be standing up. We'll just do a listening session. And I have no idea what it's going to be yet. I'm still praying about it. And that the Lord just help us put it all together. Amen. And the last two cantatas was put together in-house. So a lot of the cantatas that are pre-made are, you know, just it's good here and good there, but not good everywhere. But I may find one that way. So you just, those of you that have been singing in the choir, and also our presiding bishop is coming on the 24th of November. Now, just so that you understand, this is the, well, God's the number one man. Amen. Jesus is number one, but under Jesus in the Pentecost on his church, number two is A.D. Beacham, Brother Doug Beacham. Fine, wonderful man of God that I've known for many years. And when he was, superintendent at the Georgia conference, and just has a great spit down to earth, doesn't know a stranger, remembers people well. And he is an encourager. In fact, I'm going to mention him tonight in this message. But, on the 24th of November, I'd like for the choir to sing that morning that I'm amazed. So I want our bishop to hear the choir. And I just know that I just know that there's so much talent here. And thank you so much for all that you're doing and what the Lord is going to do. And we're going to have a great fall this fall. Amen. And we're going to see some more chains broken. And this past Sunday service was just another realm of glory. Amen. And we never take it for granted, the presence of God here at Westmoreland. Amen. So if you sung in the choir before, or if you haven't sung, or if you want to sing, we're still in the phase of just come on up and make a joyful noise. We don't do any auditions. We may later on, we get bigger and more people come up. We may have to kind of dwindle it down a little bit, but for right now, it's just whosoever will. Amen. Just come and we'll make a joyful noise together. And I'll tell you, the anointing is the difference. Amen. You love the Lord tonight. Amen. So we are talking about the gateway, going beyond speaking in tongues and going into the inner core of living the Christian life. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence in tongues, we believe strongly in this church. We believe it biblically. We've preached it, the 14 articles of faith. We believe that a person, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they will have the evidence of tongues. Now, you may have a good feeling, you may shout, you may run, but I'm listening for the tongues. Now, the tongues is the evidence, not the only evidence, but it's the initial evidence. But once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, that's not just like spiking the ball and say, I got it, and just go off and never do anything with it. It is a gateway to the other gifts. Remember, the initial evidence means there are more evidences. You see, when I go to work at Best Buy, me speaking in tongues is not going to help my coworker if they're going through a divorce. But me giving them another spiritual gift, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, these manifestation gifts, the in-the-moment gifts, will certainly help. I think every born-again Christian should be full and overflowing, not just filled, but thrilled, not just filled, but overflowing. And Pastor is an expert, I believe, one of the top in our denomination. I say that seriously. In our entire denomination, he is one of the top as far as the gifts of the Spirit. He exercises it. He exemplifies it. If you want to know how the gifts should flow, look at our pastor. And what I stand and sometimes I'm like, Lord, when I would pray for people at other churches that I pastored, I would think to myself, how would Jerry Nelson do this? And I would do it. I really would. I never told you that, did I? I would. I'd say somebody would come to the altar and they'd be all messed up and I'd be about half depressed and I think, what would Jerry Nelson do right now? And then I just would pull my shoulders back and I would follow his example. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Can we praise God for the example that we have? And so we're learning these, but we don't want to just teach them and preach them. We want you to practice them and we want you to flow in them. And so my part of the gifts, different, but similar, are the permanent or the body ministry gifts. People who are called with certain giftings, preaching or prophecy, serving, teaching. Next week or next time I speak will be on giving, a calling to giving and then leading and in mercy. And so, but tonight I want to hone in. If you'll stand with me, no, you don't have to stand with me. Well, yeah, stand with me. We got to read the Word of God. We got to stand. Stand with me tonight and turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. And sister, if you'll just give me a thumbs up every time I call out a scripture, let me know that you've got it. That way I won't have to turn around and look. But Romans 12, 4 through 8. And in case you've not noticed, we've had a lot of changes in our sound system, our sound booth. You know, we had David Johnson for many years, and we had different ones that would come in. And Derek stepped up when he went, and Dylan and different ones. And they were gone and to other places. And so Brother Blue and Brother Baker and KK, Michaela, has us. And Hope Anthony, one of our new members. You know what? You just look at Hope. Sister Hope's life, and I remember when she first came in here, and I see that she's not only gotten saved, but she's serving and doing a part of our sound booth up there, and we'll be training some others as well. So if you see them, and Brother Baker's just a old faithful, isn't that what they call it? A faithful, amen. Praise God. I heard a sermon. On my way to, I had to go to Beaufort, the other day, and I listened to a sermon about being faithful, and thank the Lord for all of those who are faithful in all of the ministries of our church. Romans chapter 12, 4 through 8. Now I'm gonna get to preaching. Hush here. Alright, Romans 12, 4 through 8. If you're glad to be here, say amen tonight. If you got Romans 12, 4, say amen. For as many as members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts different. So this is where the manifestation and the ministry gifts are different. Manifestation gifts are not something you don't have. They're just something that flow in your life. But these body ministries gifts are something you have. You're called to these, one of these, and you may have certain elements of it, but let me go on and read this, and I'll explain it later. It says, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy or preaching. Remember, prophecy is the manifestation gift of prophecy, a word in season. And then there's the prophecy that anyone can flow in and at any time. But there's also the prophecy that's not revelation, but it's also explanation. And I tied that into preaching, the call to preaching, and that there are many people that are called to preach. And that's where my ministry gift is. That's where I'm. I know I was called to preach because I would pick up a brush, and in the mirror I would preach to myself. I mean, that's how much that calling was strong in my life. My little sister and my little cousin would come over, and I would while they were out there on the swing set, I would take a something and a hammer or something, and I would just act like I was preaching to them. And I mean, before I even really got into church, good and strong, and that calling is like it'll just come up within you. People say, well, I don't know what I'm called to do. Well, God knows what you're called to do, and you will know it. You can't hide it, and you can't deny it. And you might run from it. Say amen now. So whether prophecy, according to the propitiation of our faith, or ministry, and we said the word ministry is serving, and I talked to you about how there's certain people who are called to serving ministry. I talked about different ones. You can go back and listen to it. And or he that teacheth, there are those who are called to teach. That's different than preaching, different than prophecy, even different than exhortation. And the next one is on he that exhorteth, on exhortation, or he that giveth. Everybody's called to give, but there are certain people called to give. Let him do it with simplicity. Then he that ruleth, that word ruleth just means leadership, do it with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So these are body ministry gifts. Father, tonight, help us to make a difference through these body ministry gifts, and help us to discover those calling that we are called in the body of Christ to one of these offices. And Father, we pray that you would help us to discover, to develop, to deploy these gifts, as well as flow in the manifestation gifts. And we'll give you the praise as we go through the gateway, and may I decrease and may you increase, and we'll give you the praise for it. Everybody said amen. And as you're seated, tell somebody you are blessed and highly favored. Encourage somebody tonight. Amen. Now, I'm going to call this for 2019 the gift of encouragement. Now, I know in the King James Bible it says the gift of exhortation, but we don't use the word exhort and exhortation on an everyday basis. It does mean the same thing, encouragement. Somebody say encouragement. an exhorter. Listen, the gift of exhortation or the gift of encouragement is not the same as teaching or preaching or prophesying. It's not the same. However, an exhorter or an encourager can preach and can teach and can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. The gift of encouragement is a public God-called gift. And actually, I believe the gift of encouragement is actually one of the most recognizable gifts in the body of Christ. And I'm going to explain that. You can easily tell, you put 50 people together and you can tell those who are called to encourage. They don't just encourage and pat you on the back. I mean, they just flow in that. And that shows that that's their calling. And so let me give you three things tonight. And this is kind of the outline I've been using. I didn't plan to do it that way, but I started at one and then I said the other. And I thought, well, we'll just copy and paste. Thank you, Microsoft Office. And thank you, Bill Gates. Amen. He's got a gifting and he just needs to get saved. But the call to encourage generally. So let's go to point number one, generally speaking. So I want you to know at the outset that, first of all people, we all need to be encouraged. I think about what God told Moses to Joshua. And Moses was going on to the mountain and Joshua was God's chosen for the next to lead on over. And God told Moses, he didn't say equip him. He didn't say teach him. Although he was equipped and although he was taught, that didn't mean he not did it. But he said, call Joshua and encourage him. There's something about encouragement. We all need encouragement. Someone once said, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Praise me, and I won't forget you. There is something about praise and encouragement. And I know when we talk about praise, some people think God only deserves the praise. I'm talking about in the sense of encouragement. Praise to one another. There's something about praise and encouragement that although we may find hard to believe or accept, it never leaves our hearts and our minds. There was a study done using children, and they wanted to study the effects of encouragement and how it affected people. And so they used some children. These were psychologists, and they hooked up all these wires to little children, and they would either use encouraging words and gestures, or they would use discouraging words and gestures to them. And what the study showed was that when children were encouraged, they could tell by the monitors that their physical energy would increase. It would make a difference when they were encouraged. And likewise, when they used discouraging words on the different subject children, the energy level of the kids would drop off immediately and dramatically. And I'm telling you, that's exactly, when it comes to parenting, that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing teenagers and 20-somethings that walk around like zombies, like I preached the other night. And the thing is, they don't have somebody to speak into their life, to bring correction, yes, to bring advice, but to encourage them, to tell them what their future is, what their potential is. They don't have to get strung out on drugs. They don't have to sleep around and find somebody to give them some attention and give them the most sacred part of their life. They just lack a father to love on them and a mother to love on them. I see children in our own church, every church. It is so sad to think they go back home and there's nobody there to really encourage them. And you Sunday school teachers and Royal Rangers, I want you to know we all have a call to encourage one another, generally speaking. Amen. Now, some people are down in the dumps all the time. Lucy announces, boy, do I feel crabby. Her little brother Linus, now he had the gift of encouragement. He was always anxious to relieve tension at home. He says, well, maybe I can be of help. Why don't you just take my place here in front of the TV while I go and fix you a nice snack? Sometimes we all need a little pampering to make us feel better. Then Linus brings her sandwich and a few chocolate chip cookies and some milk. Now, is there anything else I can get you? He asks. Is there anything I haven't thought of? Yes, there's one thing you haven't thought of, Lucy answers. And he said, well, what is that? And she screams, I don't want to feel better. Now, I've met some people like that. I mean, you can encourage them. It's like throwing water on a rock. It just crashes and comes right back to you in your face. Come on now. But whether or not people want to be encouraged, we should all be willing to encourage. and to do what we should do. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but what? Exhorting one another so much. And it didn't say, let us not forsake the assemblies of ourselves that we may hear preaching. Let us not forsake the assemblies of ourselves that we may hear singing. It says, one of the most important things of us assembling is we encourage one another. Yes, the pastor preaches and there's a message and a word and an anointing. But brother so-and-so in that lobby there can might give you that one thing that the sermon may miss. There is something about that we should be encouraging one another. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And anybody in the body of Christ can be an encourager. Well, how is that? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3 and 15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be what? Ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Peter is telling us that as believers, we should be ready to give answers. We should be ready to give encouragement. We should be ready. We need to give the world a smile. We need to realize that we're a billboard for Christianity and Jesus. And if I walk around with my shoulder slumped and I used to say this and people pick on me. I've said it so much. Your face is so long you could land a 747 on it. You know, you got to realize that the drunkard out there and the drug addict and those who are being tempted to sin and they look at us and you talk about we have eternal life and we have the joy and we have hope and forgiveness. And yet we're walking around ill and fussy and cranky. And no, my friend, be ready to give an answer. Give the world a smile. Tell somebody that Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, we need to realize that generally speaking, all of us have an obligation, if not an absolute obligation to help people, and just simply by encouragement. Can you give the Lord a praise that somebody's encouraged you when you were down in the dumps? Amen. Now let's talk about, we're going from generally to specifically, and then we'll talk structurally. So let's talk about the call to encourage specifically. This is very interesting. The verb parakaleo means exhorts, and the noun paraklesis means exhortation. They're compounds of the same two Greek words, para and kaleo, and have the, listen what those two Greek words, when you put them together, they have the meaning, this is the literal meaning, it means to call someone to one's side. To call someone to one's side. Oh, my friend, sometimes we just need somebody to come along beside us. Not somebody above us. And there should be nobody beneath us. A lot of times people are behind us, or maybe they've left us in front of us. But oh, to have somebody to come alongside of us. How many of you believe in the Holy Spirit? Can you say amen? Did you know that one of the Greek word in the book of John where it says, I will send you another comforter? Did you know that is also the word exhorter? Or, in fact, it could be literally translated helper or advocate or comforter. And so the Holy Spirit is the ultimate encourager. The Holy Spirit comes along beside us and whispers to us. You can speak to the mountain, move. You can walk through that Red Sea. Just lift your hand and trust God to work in the night season. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you something. If you're in the flow of the Holy Spirit, if you're wanting to use the gifts of the Spirit, don't wait to speak in tongues. Don't wait to see what the Antichrist is going to do or if Netanyahu's going to rebuild the temple. Just go ahead and encourage somebody. And then watch what happens. Amen. If you want to do the work of the Spirit in your life, the very basic thing you can do is come alongside somebody and just say, I love you. I'm praying for you. And by the way, sometimes that's all people need is just say, I love you. I'm praying for you. We miss you. We love you. We want to be your helper. We want to be your advocate. We talk about Jesus, the advocate with the Father. In other words, Jesus represents Ricky Nelms to the Father. And boy, Ricky Nelms is a mess. But oh, by the way, I went to this I was waiting for the time to use this, but some of you may or may not know, but a few weeks ago, I was called to jury duty. It was like 50 of us called to jury duty. Last time I was called to jury duty in Wilson, I went, and they turned around and sent me home, and I was expecting to have a day off that day. But they didn't send me home. And we waited all day and all afternoon, and then the next morning, there were still 50 of us, and they began to whittle it down. They were going to choose 14 names. Juror number one, boom, boom, boom. Juror number two. And would you believe juror number five, Richard Nelms? You didn't know my name was Richard, did you? Richard Nelms. That's right. If you ever see Richard Nelms in the paper, he's talking about me, so I hope I'm not in trouble. But I was called to... And I want to tell you something. I always believe there's a reason for everything. And I try to learn. I never want to stop learning. And I'm like, what can I learn from this? And I watched that defense attorney. His name was Salinger. Some of you may know him. If I ever get in trouble, I know who I'm calling. But now the guy he was trying to defend, I had already made up my mind. I was an open mind. I had an open mind. I can talk about this. It's going all around the world. I can talk about it. The judge said I can talk about it. But he was defending him. And I said, well, I'm going to keep an open mind here. And I listened to the prosecutor. And I listened to the defense attorney. And I tell you what, that defense attorney was good. He asked questions. He angled. And I thought, you know what? For the good, I'm so glad Jesus is my defense attorney. If Salinger's good, how much greater is the Lord? Amen. Can we praise our advocate? We have an encourager. He represents the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. By the way, the guy that was had murdered another man, and he was claiming self-defense, and the prosecutor for the county presented the case that this was no way it was self-defense, and there was one thing that happened that just convinced me, and before we could get to the defense side, all along the journey, the defense was making points, but the guy took a plea deal, and I got to talking to some of the other jurors there, and I was wondering how they felt, and everyone that I talked with agreed it was first-degree murder. He was about to get sent away for a long time. He pleaded to second-degree murder, and by the way, this is totally not on my message tonight, but this happened in an African-American community downtown Wilson, and they had to bring in witnesses, and they were at a party, and they would get on the witness stand and say, well, and the defense attorney was like, well, were you drinking? Yeah, I was drinking. Why were you drinking? It was my birthday and I wanted to get drunk. That's exactly what he said on the witness stand. And two or three of them, and rough looking, in their 50s and 60s. And my heart just broke. And I said this. I thought, where are the African-American soul winners? Where are the black churches and the black pastors? Are they not winning souls? Are they not in these people in that neighbor? And I thought to myself, if they won't go there, God give me the time and the grace. I'll go down to that community. I don't care if they're Hispanic or black. People need the Lord. This man died, went to an eternity, had no cooking on the grill, and he found himself meeting God. Oh, God, help us to encourage each other to be soul winners. People you work with, tell them about Jesus. Let them know about the Lord. Can you say amen here tonight? Everybody needs to be encouraged, and there is a specific calling to the ministry of encouragement. Now, I've gone from general to specific. Now, let me best tell you how I thought about how can I show to those of you so that you may recognize the gift in your life that you're called to encourage. And the best way is to show you people who have that gift, people who have been called to encourage. And so I think of the Old Testament. Who in the Old Testament had the calling to the ministry of encouragement? Now, you may can think of some, but I immediately thought of one in particular, and his name is Nehemiah. Now, I'm looking at this congregation tonight. All of y'all know who Nehemiah is. Nehemiah was that man who stood before the king, and the king, he got favor from the king to go back and build the walls around Jerusalem. Can I tell you that that crowd of folks out there was discouraged, despondent, under oppression, depression. And if there was any way to build that wall, somebody had to be called not to preach, not even to teach. Ezra did that. But somebody had to be called to encourage and say, let's build the wall. That man was called. He was called to encourage because he said, let's do it. And boy, he encouraged the people to do it. And when they got to building the wall, the old devil tried to mess around. The people got discouraged. He said, don't be discouraged. Remember your wives, fight for your nation and your children and your God. And he said, if you got to take a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other hand, you keep at the work. Somebody said, well, come on down and let's talk about this. No, Nehemiah said, we're doing a great work and we're not coming down. Stay encouraged. And buddy, in 52 days, they rebuilt the wall. Oh, thank God for the gift of encouragement. Go ahead and praise the Lord for it. Amen. Nehemiah. When I tell you, one of the most important things we can do as leaders is encourage people. Things get done when you can encourage. Yes, there needs to be correction. Yes, there needs to be bringing things into line, and sometimes those things need to happen. Paul told Timothy, reprove, rebuke. Listen, he said reprove, rebuke, and the next word was exhort with all meekness. We are never to reprove and rebuke in such a way as to shame people. Never. That is not the way the Lord works. We are to exhort people. If we reprove and rebuke, we tie. In fact, when I started working at Best Buy, I had a supervisor, and he said, this is how I deal with problems. He said, when there's a problem, he said, I think of a hamburger. He said, there's the bun, that's good, and there's the ketchup, and that's a little better, the pickle, yeah. And then I get down to the meat of it and say, here's the problem. But on the other side of the meat of it is a little more lettuce and a little more mustard and a little more mayo. And then the backside of it is the bun again. So I thought, man, that's brilliant. This man, his name is Antonio Wooten. If he's listening, he works at Best Buy in Raleigh. Now, that man, he may not recognize it, but he has the gift and he is called to be an encourager. Amen? Because I thought, how brilliant that is. Yes, we deal with things, but an encourager, and we should all operate in that vein. So let's go over to the New Testament. In the Nehemiah, in the Old Testament, I'm sure there's others, but I don't have all night to preach it. But in the New Testament, there is one sterling example to, and I did not realize this until recently when I was studying for this message. You know, Paul was mentioned a lot in the book of Acts, and you know, Peter is mentioned a lot in the book of Acts, but did you know that there's one man, and I did not realize it, as many times as I read the book of Acts. In fact, I just got through reading the book of Acts recently, and I didn't realize how much the man Barnabas, son of consolate, let's go and show you that scripture, Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation. In other words, Barnabas' father was a great encourager, but so it came down to his son, Barnabas, who himself became one of the greatest God-called exhorters and encouragers in the New Testament. And I didn't realize, you go back and find out how many times Barnabas' name was used. It was used just as much as Peter, just as much as Paul. That tells you that an exhorter and an encourager, the calling, that ministry made a difference. No, Barnabas never preached and 3,000 got saved. No, we don't credit him with going before Caesar like Paul did. No, we don't read that he did a lot of miracles. He did some. You can see some of that. But we do read that he made some critical and important, he flowed in that gift, and it made a huge difference in the history and the destiny of the church. For example, go to Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 27. Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 27. If you're there, say amen. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, by the way, we're talking about the apostle Paul when he got saved. You know, before he got saved, his name was Saul. If you understand that, say amen. So he was Saul of Tarsus, and when God saved him, he became Paul, the apostle. So here is Saul. He had just gotten saved. He was come to Jerusalem. He has swayed to join himself. He wanted to join with the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. That'd be like Osama bin Laden if he was still alive, coming up to Westmoreland and saying, hey, I've gotten on fire for the Lord. We would be highly suspect, wouldn't we? Look at verse 27. Same way you feel about it, bin Laden is the same. Because Saul of Tarsus was putting the Christians in jail and locking them up. And they thought, well, he's just pretending. He's just putting on. And yet God had done a work in his life. And look at verse 27, Acts chapter 9, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. That's what an encourager does. An encourager comes alongside somebody. An encourager takes two parties and says, let's come together because God is working. An encourager is a unifier. An encourager is somebody that says, don't look at this man's past. Look at this man's future. An encourager says, I don't care what other people say about you, Saul. I know what God is doing in your life. And I'll help make the case for it. An encourager's got your back. Glory to God. Don't you love people who's got your back? I'll tell you one of the worst things. The most nauseating things is disloyalty. I tell you, God is sickened by it. I'm sickened by other. You wanna really hurt yourself is be disloyal to people who love you and people. Listen, we are to watch each other's back. We're to care for each other. We're to speak highly one of another and pray one for another. Amen. I'm starting to meddling now. Well, we need to encourage the preachers. You know, I heard about the preacher, this lady in the church, she had the gift of encouragement, and he preached his heart out, and he knew he didn't do good. He felt like he didn't do good. And he didn't do good. And walking out the door, people just shook his hands, and the lady came by and said, "Preacher, I want to tell you, that was a nice try." Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, go to Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Here's another time. Critical that Saul and those disciples have a God moment. Critical. What if Barnabas had not been there to encourage Saul? What if Barnabas had not been there for those disciples? All of history maybe have changed. I'll tell you, encouragement is a destiny changer. It makes the difference. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. It says, now this is many years later. Now we have Paul, who has been preaching and ministering. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. And let's see how they're doing." Verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now go to verse 38. But Paul thought it not good to take him, because he departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was sharp between them. And they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches. So Paul and Barnabas, man, they were tight. But Paul had a different gift mix than Barnabas did. Paul had a different calling on his life than Barnabas did. It didn't mean that Paul was right and Barnabas was wrong. It didn't mean Barnabas was right and Paul was wrong. Just sometimes giftings aren't always the best for the same moment. I'm trying to navigate through this carefully because I don't want you to think less of Paul and I don't want you to think more of Barnabas or vice versa. But Barnabas was an encourager. He was more concerned about a person than people. Paul was more concerned about people than a person. And people are different like that. And God uses people like that. You see, there's the big vision. But I'll tell you, you can't do the big vision without people. Amen. I didn't say one was wrong. I didn't say one was right. I'm just telling you that Barnabas was an encourager. And Mark had messed up. Evidence is in. He didn't come to the work. Let me tell you something, folks. People are people. they're gonna disappoint you. I remember when I was pastoring at West Road. And we had a church split. A lady took several of our members away and went down the road. And just a devastating time in my life. It hurt me. And And as you can imagine, people that you pastored and loved, and next thing you know, they're going down there. And and I remember this one young man. He stayed. He stayed, and he said, he was just kind of. He had gotten saved about a year before, and he was really growing in the Lord. I did his wedding, and he was going to be our new men's ministries director. And I remember we had a men's ministries cookout, and it was supposed to start at 5. And I drove up at the church at 4:30, and he's not there. 4:45, and he's not there. And about 5 minutes to 5, almost had a nervous breakdown. I said, people have left. This young man, he's a good man. He's not going to be able to care. What am I going to do? And about 5 minutes later, he come rolling up in his big old truck, and two or three others came up. And about 30 minutes later, we had a good men's ministries meeting. And I thought about that. You know, he should have been there earlier, and he had a lot on his plate, and he was an emerging leader, and he was growing. But I needed him at that critical time, and I really got discouraged. So I can kind of feel like Paul when Mark, you know, kind of messed up. But you know what? I went back a few weeks ago to the church I used to pastor. And now it is filled up, and God has brought them to new property. And that young man is one of the leaders in that church. And him and his sister are over the youth. And I'm pastoring, when we do some of our youth services, they had 15 young people doing a skit up there that just was powerful. And I thought to myself, thank God that I didn't give up on him on that Saturday at that men's ministries meeting. Thank God that I continue to encourage him even when he wasn't all that he needed to be. Folks, people are people. They're not always going to... Oh, no. Was that the bell? I need some encouragement right now. A good preaching on would help right this minute. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I got to tell you this. I said Paul might not have been wrong and Barnabas might not have been right. But years later, many years later, and I wish I had the scripture. Pastor, you may know the scripture, you may not. But Paul, many years later, said, bring Mark with us, for he is profitable to the ministry. Barnabas encouraged Mark so much so that Paul included him again. And by the way, Barnabas encouraged Mark. And did you know that he had one of the greatest comeback? Mark did. He didn't go to the work. He messed up. But Barnabas encouraged him. And he was continued in the work. And guess what? His greatest contribution to this day. Anybody want to guess? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark wrote one of the most significant writings in all of history. Thank God for encouragers that can turn it around. Did he write the book of Acts? I thought it was Luke that wrote the book of Acts. Okay. But Mark wrote the book of Mark. Can we praise God for encouragers? People who will stick with us even when we mess up? Nobody's perfect. You're not going to get a perfect pastor. You're not going to get a perfect member. You don't get anybody. That doesn't give us an excuse to be lazy or sloppy, and we need to be accountable, and we need to do things right for the Lord. We don't need to just fly by the seat of our pants. There's got to be divine order. But my friend, at the end of the day, we need encouragement. Say amen. Now, I talked about Nehemiah was called to encourage. I talked about Barnabas, who was the main encourager of the Bible. How about some encouragers in history? I'm going to give you a couple of names, people in history. How about Franklin Delano Roosevelt? Martin Luther King, that's an excellent encourager. That's an excellent, excellent. But FDR, what did he say to the nation? All right, let me finish preaching. What did he say to the nation? How many of you remember what he said? Oh, Brother Elam was there when he said it, I believe. He was listening on TV like Joe Biden said, you know? He said, no, that's Kennedy. He said, we have nothing to fear, but FDR, when you read biographies of him, he encouraged people. He was an encourager. Now, I don't know that he ever became a Christian, but he had the gift of encouragement. I thought about, another one, Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was called to, to the ministry of exhortation, if ever a man was. Now, he was a Christian, and they called him the great communicator, but really he was the great exhorter. That man could bring hope. He could look in a camera and tell you that it's going to be all right, and it was all right. And he could talk about mourning in America. Aren't you glad for people who were called to the gift of encouragement? I think about my Aunt Lola, Lola Clack. She never was a pulpit preacher or a pastor or an evangelist. She did preach. She did, but her gift was exhortation. I would go to her house and sit and listen to her talk about the work of God, and it encouraged me. Now I'm going to give you another one. Now, I don't want anybody to comment on this. I don't want no comments. I don't want no post on Facebook. I don't want to get in trouble, but this man is called to be an encourager. Now, I don't agree with everything he may do or not do, so please, please, please. His name is Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen, that man is called to be an encourager. Now, I want to tell you, I may not agree with some of the things that he does, but I can tell you this, I can listen to his sermons and listen to the word, and I promise you it has encouraged me. Now, I wish he would do this, and I don't like this. Now, and please, there's some people. Listen, folks, let's not be so uptight. God is still on the throne. Amen. You're not God, and we ain't none of us made it there yet. So whatever the negative stuff, I'm with you. I understand. But I'm just telling you, when I went through some dark time, in fact, when the church split at West Road, he preached a sermon back then in 2009 that I've never forgotten, and it brought me through. Thank God. The point I'm trying to tell you is that people, and what about right here at Westmoreland? We got any encouragers here? Woody Bradley. Brother Woody, would you stand? I encourage you to stand, my brother. Everybody give him a big hand. Exactly, exactly. He's called to be an encourager. You're called, my brother. You know, you can know when somebody's called to be an encourager because, man, they encourage you if it's raining. They encourage you if you feel like you're about to die. Brother Woody, he gets in your face and encourages you. You will be encouraged in Jesus' name. Aren't you glad of that? Say amen. Now, as I close, the call generally, say generally. The call specifically, say specifically. And the call structurally, say structurally. The Duke of Wellington, a famous military leader who defeated Napoleon, was asked at the end of his life if he had any regrets. He asked Napoleon, "Do you have any regrets?" He said that if he had regret, it was that he did not give more praise. Excuse me. The Duke of Wellington said that, who defeated Napoleon. He said, if I have any regret, this great general who defeated mighty people said, if I have any regrets, that I not give more encouragement. And by the way, structurally, how can you be an encourager? First of all, you got to encourage yourself. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, and David was greatly distressed when his people spake of stoning him because the soul of the people were grieved and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David what? You can't encourage other people. You can't encourage other people if you don't encourage yourself. Be encouraged tonight. God is on the throne. Be encouraged. Romans 8:28 is still in effect. He works all things together for good to those who love God and call. Be encouraged that you're forgiven. Be encouraged that he will restore double. Be encouraged that the latter is greater than the former. Be encouraged he will restore the years that the enemy has stolen. Be encouraged that the Lord is soon to return. Maranatha, be encouraged that he is the healer. Oh, listen, if you want to be encourager to other people, you encourage yourself. Somebody say amen. Be a good listener. Sometimes encouragers can be so into encouraging that they're not listening very well. So be a good listener. Know the word of God. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Would you stand? I'll ask Brother Clark if he'll come and play piano. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to make a difference? How many of you want to make a difference? How many of you want to be like a Barnabas? You may not be called to be Brother Woody. You may not be called to be Barnabas, but you can be an encourager. I'll let you know when to start, brother. 56 years ago, listen very carefully as I close. 56 years ago on June the 18th, 1956, a freak accident happened in New York on a lake. A speeding motorboat bounced on a wave and shot into the water two of its passengers. a 50-year-old man and a little girl. To keep her from drowning, the man held her head above the water while the boat circled back. They rescued the girl, but the man sank and drowned. That's how Dawson Trotman died. You may not know Dawson Trotman, but he was the founder of the group called the Navigators. They were strong in college. The Navigators Ministry, wrote many books and different ones. It was an international discipleship ministry. According to a quote in Time magazine, he lived to save others. His death was just the way he would have planned it. And in his obituary, someone wrote that he died just the way he lived, always lifting someone up. I want to die like that, always lifting someone up. Can we lift up our precious Lord right now and lift your hands up to Him? Father, thank You tonight as they begin to play. Thank You tonight, God, for encouragement. Thank You, God, for Barnabas's. Thank You for Pastor Jerry Nelson, who's encouraged me when I was a pastor years ago and even now. Thank You, God, for Woody Bradley, Lord. And thank You for Nehemiah's and others who encouraged us. Thank You for every teacher in this church who is encouraging young people. Thank You for helping us to come alongside, to become partners with others. And I pray that in this church that we'll go through the gateway, Lord, and through the gateway of encouragement, that we'll encourage and love one another. And God, will give You the praise. We'll give You the praise. I want you to give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. He is worthy. He is worthy. I'm not going to call you to the altar tonight, because what I want you to do is turn around to somebody next to you and tell them, don't leave just yet. Just tell them that you're going to pray for them. And I want you to encourage somebody right next to you. Encourage them. Davon, come up here. I want to encourage you. All right. Encourage somebody right now. Brother Woody, show us how it's done. Davon, I want to encourage you to keep singing on the praise team. You're doing a good job. I want you to encourage our pastor tonight. It doesn't feel good. I want you to let him know. Tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored of God. You're blessed and highly encouraged somebody tonight.